Happy Tuesday, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Five Tools Show. I am your host, Correll Cooper, and I am joined by my co-host, Tanya Mercado, who is on the bus right now, making her way home, navigating through New York City. Tanya, what's going on?
Not much. Trying to make sure that this bus doesn't make too much noise.
I need you to get everyone's attention on the bus and tell them that you're on the radio right now, and when they get home, they should tune into the Five Tool Show.
You must be crazy. I live in New York. I'm not trying to get shot.
We need fans. You need to have no shame in your game and stand up on that bus and get like a crazy lady and tell everyone that they need to tune into the Five Tool Show.
Oh, okay. So it's bad enough that we have all this anti-terrorism stuff. So let me act like a crazy person and get arrested, thinking that maybe I'm some type of terrorist. It's fine.
And then maybe the 5-2 show will make the 7 p.m. The 9 o'clock news tonight. Crazy lady goes crazy, screaming the 5-2 show on the bus. I like that.
No, because I'm trying to get a career, not end one.
All right. Well, hey. It has been a long time since we've been on the show together. I was thinking about that today. We haven't been on a show together since, like, Santana threw the no-hitter. Like, we never even talked about that.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Been a while.
Phil Nathans and I covered it quite well. you didn't want to do a show. You blew me off for a dinner for your job. So there was no love from you that day.
Well,
which consequently was your birthday, so happy belated.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a while. Thank you for the birthday wishes. And I had to miss the show for work. And then what else happened? Last week we had some technical difficulties, which wasn't even our fault. It was Blog Talk Radio's fault. So,
actually, there was an East Coast blackout. So that's why we weren't able to do the show last week.
Aha. All right, well, either way, we weren't able to do it, and we haven't been on for a while. So happy graduation. I know we talked right before you graduated, but how's things been since you've post-graduation for you?
Holy crap, everything's been crazy. So now I'm a producer for a broadcasting program that's going on from the beginning of this month to, like, the first week of next month, and it's been the most intense thing of my life. So I have no time for anything. Like, anybody who's been asking me to write for them or to be a guest on their show, I've been like, no, I don't have time. I'm at school from, like, 9. I'm in this program from, like, 9:30 in the morning till about 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, depending on how much stuff needs to get done.
Wow. So you are very busy. You hit the ground running after graduation, huh? Well, you were before graduation, so.
Oh, this is just worse, though, because now I only can work 2 days out of the week. So Saturday is the only day I have to myself. It's the only day I can tell the world to piss off.
Have you been keeping up with our boys in blue and orange at all?
Is this a joke? I honestly, no, in all seriousness, I would probably have to say yes and no. Because I have so many things that I have to get done. I don't have time for the mess right now because, oh, is that you little girl in the background? She's so cute.
Yeah, that's her.
She's so adorable. But in all seriousness, I don't have time. Like, I'll try to, and I'll try and keep appraised of everything that's going on as much as I can, but I'm too busy trying to get a newscast together, making sure that everybody's stories are done, making sure that the anchors are prepared, the scripts are done, everybody's stories are edited, tracked. I mean, there's just so much that I have to get done. I don't have time for baseball right now, which is why I don't. My site is literally on hiatus until probably July.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's all good things, right? I mean, I always say it's better to be busy than not to be doing anything at all. So that's good stuff. And congratulations again on graduation. And Good luck with everything you are doing. Well, let me ask you this about the Mets, though. Since you haven't been paying attention to them as much as you probably would like to, what if I told you right now that they were in second place and they have the fourth best record in the National League? What would you say to that?
I'd have to say you're a lying SOB and you can kiss my ass.
Well, I am not lying. The Mets are 36-32. They're four games out of the NL East behind Washington in second place, and they have the fourth best record in the National League, and if the playoffs were to start today, they would be in as the first wild card.
Okay,
so
but
you
know
go.
What? You know what? Not for nothing. A Mets fan needs to shut their faces because right now they should be thanking the Yankees, because if it wasn't for the Yankees and the fact that they've been killing the Nationals and the Braves, the Mets would not be in the situation that they're in right now, because that sweep against the Reds was just like, that just killed me. Absolutely killed me. Every time I would check the score, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? I'd be so aggravated. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, you know, the last week or so, it really has been a roller coaster ride with this team. I mean, you go from Santana's no hitter to them playing really well against the Cardinals that weekend, then just getting swept by the Yankees. And quite frankly, I thought they looked overmatched, and they really looked like a young team against the Yankees, like almost like Yankee Stadium was too big for them. And then they went down to Tampa and they swept the Rays. And then they come back home and they get swept at home by the Reds. And then Dickey throws another one-hitter last night and they win. And they're winning again tonight. So it's just been like up and down with this team. It's been fun, but it's been crazy too.
Honestly, they need to cut the crap already with this. Win three, lose three, win three, lose three. Either you're going to win or you're going to lose. Make up your mind. Because jumping back and forth is not going to get you into the playoffs. So figure out what it is that you're going to do and do it. You know, I have every confidence in this team. There's no reason for me not to believe in this team. As Hader Alfonso even said, this team is a good team. They will get it done. But they need to be consistent. And that's something that the Mets have always struggled with, consistency. Because they'll win a bunch of games and then, you know, they'll lose. And then it's like they're almost a 500 club again, and that irks my life.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting. And you know, even so more, they're pretty good at home this year. They're 20-15 at home, but on the road is where they've been struggling. They're 16-17 on the road. And I remember, like, last year was the opposite. Like, on the road, they would play well, and at home, they were just absolutely terrible. So
I think
they're playing
the past,
good in front of their home fans this year.
I think it's the past 2 years that it's been like that, that they're better away than they are at home. And now that they bring the Wolves in and whatever, I guess it's a psychological boost or whatever, now all of a sudden they're better at home than they are on the road. And before, that was always the case, where they were better at home than they were on the road. They've always struggled on the road, especially West Coast games. But I'd like to see a balance. You know, they need to be, in order to make the playoffs, they need to be just as good on the road as they are at home. Because chances are, even if they get to the playoffs, they're not going to have home field advantage. If that's going to be the case, then they need to learn how to play the game off the field. I mean, off outside of
the field,
on the road.
Yeah. And one thing that's kind of been there, a little bit of a saving grace this year, is that, you know, outside of Washington, the National League East is just not all that good this year. You know, the Braves, I thought they would be a little bit better. Miami is playing 500, and Philly, you know, I really don't care about Philly, and I hope they lose every game for the rest of the year. But, you know, Philly is 31-37 right now, which is a bit of a surprise, at least to me. So they've gotten some breaks there where their own division hasn't been all that good this year.
I think that's kind of a matter of opinion, because I knew the Marlins were not going to do it. You know, they were going to be adequate. The Phillies, I knew, were going to be bad because they're old. The Braves, I thought, would be somewhat on the same level as the Mets. The Nationals have just shocked the hell out of me, the fact that they've been playing this good for this long.
Yeah, I thought the Nationals would have started to come back a little bit, but they've got the second-best record in the National League right now, and they still are playing really well. I mean, they just got swept by the Yankees over the weekend, so they looked a little outmatched there. But, you know, other than that, they've played well this year, which I think is might be the biggest surprise in the National League right now, is how well the Nationals have played. So.
Okay, I'm just going to give you a quick heads up because one of my reporters might actually be calling me, but I might have to switch over at some point. If he talks to me and I don't answer, it's because I'm talking to one of my reporters about some technical issues or the story that they're doing right now. So I'm just giving you a heads up in case you hear like dead air.
Well, while you're on, let me ask you this. R.A. Dickey. Unbelievable this year. Unbelievable. And, you know, he's coming off of now two games in a row where he's pitched back-to-back one-hitters. You know, quite frankly, if he's not in the starter in the National League, for the National League in the All-Star game this year, I think that's a crime. Are you shocked at how well R.A. Dickey has pitched this year?
As far as how well, yeah, because he's a pitcher and he's pitching on the Mets. So any time a pitcher on the Mets does well, that amazes me. But other than that, you know, after reading Dickey's book, I'm never amazed by what he does. Because he's earned this, he's come back from so much, and I have every faith in him that he can do anything and everything. You know, I mean, at the same time, you have to look at our rotation. I mean, who do we have in our rotation that's actually, you know, as good for a 1-2 punch? You know, we have Santana, we have Dickey, and I think that's as best as you're going to get with this team. You know, but having Dickey playing as well as he is, I think it's amazing. I haven't seen him pitch. I can't remember the last time I saw Dickey pitch the game. But I would love to ask him, what's his secret? You know, the fact that he's been able to pitch two complete games amazes me alone. You know, in an age where you have pitchers that are too babied and coddled, Dickey just goes out and he's like, Jesus, I got this. Terry Collins, sit your ass down. You're not pulling me out. I'm finishing this. I started it. I'm going to finish it. You know, and I respect that. And I think we need to see more of that, not just on the Mets, but in baseball in general. So I think he's just like a really good role model for pitchers who are pitching now and those who are in the minors that'll be coming up at some point.
Yeah, I am amazed at how well he's pitched this year. You know, I thought he would be good, but I didn't think he would be this good. And, you know, I said at the beginning of the year, and I screamed all offseason, the Mets need to go out and sign an ace. The Mets need another front end of the rotation pitcher. You know, I didn't think Santana would bounce back as well as he has, and I definitely didn't think Dickey would be this good. And I'm glad that I was wrong because, you know, Santana, in my opinion, has pitched better than I thought he would this year, you know, including with the no-hitter. And Dickey has just been, you know, he's been the best pitcher not only on this team, he has been the best pitcher in baseball so far this year. I was taking a look at some of his stats before the show started. And right now, he's first in the National League in wins. He's first in the National League in earned run average. He's second in the National League in innings pitched. He's first in the National League in whip. And surprisingly, for a knuckleball pitcher, He's first in the National League in strikeouts. I mean, he has been the best pitcher in baseball so far this year. And I don't know when the last time we've been able to, like, say that about a Mets starting pitcher. It has been a long time, and it's just it's amazing and a surprise, too. And, you know, I watched the game last night, and it just seemed like he just got stronger as the game went on and as the innings went on. Fifth, sixth, seventh inning, it just seemed like the Orioles hitters were just getting more and more baffled by him as the game went on. And it was fun to watch, and it was amazing, too. Really good stuff by R.A. Dickey so far this year.
Well, I'm so happy that one of us could say that we've actually watched the game.
You know, I've been lucky so far. I've watched from beginning to end both of Dickey's one-hitters, and then from beginning to end, I watched Santana's no-hitter. So I've been lucky so far this year to have been able to catch the three best games that Mets pitchers have pitched this year.
Well, I am so happy for you. Meanwhile, my Puerto Rican ass is too busy trying to, like, get some hours at work and produce a newscast. I don't have time for myself. But it's fine. The only time I have for myself is on the train, and that's just spent either sleeping or reading a Star Trek book.
That's right. You are a Trekkie. Thought about that.
Yeah, and I have no problem saying it. As a matter of fact, once I'm done with this Star Trek book, I got to start on my Star Trek physics book.
Do you have, like, a bookshelf full of Star Trek stuff?
As far as books, not a full shelf. But I do have a few Star Trek books, DVDs, CDs. I actually have the entire Star Trek encyclopedia on CD-ROM.
What?
I wanted to get the Klingon dictionary, too. I only know, like, two or three words in Klingon, and that's it. It's fun, actually.
All right, so before the season is out, you got to come on the show, and you got to speak some of that language.
Well, I have to buy the book. Like I said, I only know, like, two words, like kapatak and kaplak. Kaplak is, like, good luck, and patak is the equivalent, I would think, of, like, asshole or something like that. And can we get that bleeped out, Zeke? Thanks. But, yeah, that's the general. Those are, like, the only two words, because they're the easiest words to learn because they say it a lot. So I was able to pick up on that easier, but nothing else. See, Dickie has Star Wars, I have Star Trek. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm not as much into Star Wars as you are into Star Trek, though, but I am a Star Wars fan.
Why Star Wars? I never understood why people prefer Star Wars over Star Trek.
That's a good question. I mean, I'm actually thinking about that right now. I mean, I used to watch Star Trek, and I used to watch the show, and it used to come on, and, well, the old show. And I used to watch, I've seen all the, like, the original movies. You know, I'm a Captain Kirk fan. But after that kind of stretch or era, I dropped out of Star Trek. So, like, I don't know any of the new characters or anything like that. But, you know, Captain Kirk, Spock, you know, the rest of the gang, you know, I've seen all those movies, and I was a fan of it then. But I don't know, Star Wars, I don't know, maybe it's because it had more action, or I don't know. I am more of a Star Wars fan.
So you're more for the brawn rather than the logic?
The what rather than the logic?
You go for brawn rather than brains. When it comes to, like, sci-fi. Cause that's how R.A. Dickey says it. Describes it. He's like, you know.
I mean, I guess if you wanna compare Star Wars and Star Trek in that fashion, then yeah, I guess you could say that. But I was a Star Trek fan, again, for the Captain Kirk era.
Everybody was. I mean, even people now who swear up and down they don't like Star Trek, they at least like, well, I like Kirk. Well, of course, everybody likes Kirk.
Yeah,
if you're a Star Wars fan, then you like Captain Kirk.
Yeah,
because
Captain
he was all
Kirk
about the fighting.
He was a cool dude. He was cool. Scotty, Spock, the rest of the gang. I mean, do you know that Captain Kirk and I forget the lady's name now, the black lady that was on it. Yeah, you know that was like the first interracial kiss on TV.
Yeah, and Gene Roddenberry did that on purpose.
Yeah, Captain Kirk was a cool dude. I liked him. I wish he played for the Mets.
We already have Captain Kirk on the Mets. His name is Ari Dickey.
Ah, okay.
And then you have Johan Santana, who's Captain Picard, because he uses logic, because he's old and he has no choice but to finesse to himself. So there you go.
Yep. But, Star Wars over Star Trek for me. But not as big a fan as you. So, I mean, I know I missed the show, but you have to tell me, let's rewind a little bit. You got to tell me your thoughts on the Santana no-hitter.
Is that a joke or are you seriously asking me? Because if you're asking me to remember something from like 2-3 weeks ago, I barely remember what I did yesterday.
Wait a minute. You just called me an old man off the air because I had to think about what I did over the weekend. Santana threw the first no-hitter in this team's history, 50 freaking years. You better tell me your thoughts. Don't give me that crap that you don't remember where you were and what you
no,
thought
actually,
about it. Don't give me
I
that.
I didn't see the game. I didn't watch until like 2 days later. So when I saw it, by then I was just like, okay, we got the first no-hitter. Yay. Okay. So then to shut everybody up, I was like, well, you know what? To all you idiots who wanted this man traded because, quote-unquote, we could maybe get something for him, and everybody killing Omar Minaria, okay? If it wasn't for Omar Minaria, Johan Santana never would have been here. We never would have had our first no-hitter. So damn. Still would be waiting for R.A. Dickey to hopefully get it.
Tell us how you really feel.
I can't.
You know that Omar was the one that signed Ari Dickey too?
Yes, I do know this. This is why everybody who keeps on criticizing Omar Minaya, you know what? To all those people, I can honestly say, kiss my ass. So I told all of you that Omar Minaya is not as bad as you guys look. Just because we have an Oliver Perez and Luis Castillo, that just kills the man for everything that he did to this team. Everybody needs to shut their mouth. To all those people, shut up.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tanya is warming up.
Like, don't get me started. Like, I was even telling one of my reporters this. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this show tonight. I'm so exhausted. And I know my co-host is going to get me riled up, and I know I'm going to probably say something that I'm going to end up kicking myself in the mouth for. But it's fine. Because apparently everybody loves it when I'm all riled up and I'm just, like, screaming and whatever. I don't know why. I don't know why people like this. I've asked, but I don't know. I don't get it.
All I did was ask you what you thought about the no-hitter. That's it.
Well, you should know better. You should know to be careful with what you ask. How long have we been doing this now for?
Well, I hope we get another one this year, and I think we will get another one this year, and I'm being greedy. I want another no-hitter. I think we will get one. And despite the fact that he's thrown 2 one-hitters recently, I think the no-hitter is going to come from John Neese. That's where my money is.
From who?
From Neese.
Okay.
That's where my money is.
I would bet on Dickey more than I would on Neese. I honestly think Dickey's going to get a no-hitter. I would love that, too.
I would, too. I mean, I just want to see another one. But I want it to come from, like, I don't want it to come from, like, somebody that just got called up or someone that we just traded for or anything like that. I want it to, like, be, like, Nice or Dickie or someone like that.
I want it to be from another Omar Minaya signing. I would love that. Just give me more reasons to, like, put a nail in the coffin for some people.
And I want it to be at home, too. I don't want it to be on the road. I want it to be at home.
I honestly, and this is going to sound a little silly to some people, but in a way, Santana's no-hitter meant a lot to the Latinos. And I know it sounds silly or whatever, but it does. You know, you have the first no-hitter in Mets history. It's from a player that Omar Minaya signed, and on top of that, he's a Latino. So for me, personally, that meant a lot. You know, because for all the hell that all the grief that Latino players get about signing these big contracts and they don't do anything, you know, after they get their money, I think this meant everything, because just the fact that he got the first no-hitter in Mets history, I think that alone made Santana worth every money he got. I mean, that's just me.
I know, I agree with you in terms of, like, the contract and him, like, being worth it. I mean, I think he earned his money, like, the first couple years. What was his first year? His first year was 08. Even down that stretch, even though the Mets didn't make the playoffs, like, he was the only one that showed up in August and September and pitched well every time out. So, I mean, when he's been out there and he's been healthy, you know, he's been great. I think that no-hitter, like, cements him among Mets fans as, like, you know, one of the favorites. It's funny because on the flip side of that, I remember watching that game, and, you know, even though there was some controversy on Beltran's foul ball that was fair and, you know, they called it foul, I remember Beltran coming up later in that game, I think in the eighth inning, and I just kept thinking to myself, you know, Santana doesn't get this no-hitter. Please don't let it be Beltran that breaks up the no-hitter, because that's all, you know, Mets fans who hate Beltran, that's all they need is, like, you know, here's the guy that looked at strike three, now here's the guy who broke up Santana's no-hitter. So it's like, for Beltran's sake, and I'm a Beltran fan, I was like, if Santana doesn't get the no-hitter, I don't want it to be Beltran to break it up. So it's like, just, you know, showing how much I think Santana is, like, loved by Mets fans now and will always be loved by it. It's, you know, the flip side of that, I didn't want Beltran to be the one to break up the no-hitter, because then he would have just been hated by Mets fans forever. And there are going to be some Mets fans who, you know, don't know any better, who are going to hate Beltran anyway forever. But, you know, I didn't want it to be him to break it up. And I'm glad that Santana got the no-hitter, and I'm glad Beltran wasn't the one that broke it up. Because that would have been bad.
Yeah, but, I mean, let me ask you, okay, I have two questions for you. One is, where do you think Santana stands as far as in Mets history? You know, do you think he would be inducted into the Mets Hall of Fame? Because honestly, I don't care what anybody says. Santana has lived beyond his contract. It's just these freaking players don't hit behind him. They don't get he doesn't get the run support from the players. So
yeah,
where do you think Santana stands as far as an all time rotation?
For the Mets, as in an all-time rotation?
For the Mets.
You know, that's tough. I mean, do I think he'll be in the Mets Hall of Fame? Yeah, I do. Thinking back over, I'm just trying to think of, I mean, for me, the best pitcher all time for the Mets is Tom Seaver. I mean, he's probably the best Mets player ever, in my opinion. Wow. I don't know. I mean, do you put him – see, I can't put Santana ahead of someone like Gooden.
Well, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking, where would he stand? Like, where would he rank amongst Mets' greatest pitchers?
Mets' greatest pitchers. He's definitely in the top five.
Okay, so go ahead. Using the top five, build me the best rotation you could build using Mets' pitchers.
Let me see. Seaver, I'm trying to think of who I put on my Mets all-time 50 list. Let's see. I'm going to put Seaver on that rotation. I'm going to put Gooden on that rotation. I'm going to put Kuzman on that rotation. I'm going to put Santana. And then as a fifth starter, wow, it's probably it's close between like Darling, Leiter, and Cone, in my opinion. You know, I could really go with either one of those guys as like the fifth starter. What the hell, I'll say Darling because I like him better than Leiter or Cone. So I would go Seaver. Who did I say? Seaver, Kuzman, Santana, Darling, and Gooden. Those would be the five off the top of my head since you put me on the spot.
Wow, you put Gooden as the number five?
No, I just put them in any order. If you want me to rank them in terms of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would go Seaver, Gooden, Kuzman, Santana, Darling. I would go those five in that order.
Say it again. Who is it?
Seaver, Gooden, Kuzman, Santana, Darling.
Okay. Fair enough.
I will go that five. And you put me on the spot, so, you know.
Well, this is my job. This is what I do. I literally do this all the time, and people get frustrated with me. I'm like, well, that's my job. If you can't handle it, then let me know. But
no,
I know you can handle it because you have these things all memorized because you're like the freaking walking Mets encyclopedia.
Hey, what can I say? I love my team.
There's loving a team and there's obsessing over a team. That's the way my father says it. Either you can love your team, but you can also be obsessed with it. My father always swore up and down that I was obsessed with the Mets. I'm like, no, Dad, I just love the team. I'm not obsessed.
But, I definitely see Santana being in the Mets Hall of Fame one day as well, too.
How long do you think it would take for them to induct him?
Oh, wow.
Because look at how long it took them to induct Franco.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's interesting. I'm not sure. I mean, I hope it doesn't take as long. I mean, Franco, when did Franco retire? I don't even remember now. I think Santana will be quick, though. I think it, you know, probably will be in some sort of, unless they've got some sort of waiting period for the Mets Hall of Fame that I don't know about. I think it will be pretty quick after he retires. I mean, if it's just not for the no-hitter alone, I mean, you know, he's done well for this team. And who knows? I mean, once his contract is up, there's no guarantee that that's going to be the end of it. I mean, he could sign an extension with the Mets. So, you know, we don't know how many more years he's got left with this team. So.
Well, so then if that's the case, then my next question to you is after he, you know, say he retires, maybe he retires as a Met, do you think he'll have a role within the organization? And if so, what would that role entail?
You know, that's interesting because I don't know. I don't – there's some guys, like, you can picture as, like, being, like, coaches or managers, you know, or, like, a pitching coach or, like, a first or a third base coach. I don't know. I don't see Johan Santana as, like, you know, a manager or a coach. Not to say that he can't do the job because I think he could, but I don't know. I just don't see that. Like, there's some guys you see and you're like, yeah, they're going to end up being a coach when their career is over. I don't know. I mean, he might have other things he wants to do outside of baseball. I know he does a lot for his home country in terms of, like, charity work and stuff like that. So I don't know. I've never pictured Santana as, like, being a coach or part of, like, a baseball organization after he retires. And I could be totally wrong. I don't know. I don't picture him doing that.
Fair enough.
And maybe that's because he's nowhere near being retired right now either. I mean, the guy's got plenty of baseball left in him, so.
Do you think the Mets should consider re-signing him?
Or
do you think the Mets should just say, okay, thank you for your time, thank you for the no-hitter, goodbye?
No, I mean, I think it's definitely something that they should consider. I think he's definitely proven this year, coming off the surgery, that, you know, he's 100% healthy. The surgery that he had and the injury that he had last year didn't really have, you know, that big of a negative impact on him. You know, his fastball is still like 80-something miles per hour or whatever. His changeup is still good. You know, he signed for the team this year. He signed with them next year. The team has a club option on him in 2014. Now, that club option is at $25 million for the year as well, too. But, you know, if he continues to pitch well this year and he shows that he's still got something in him, I don't see why they wouldn't look at re-signing him, obviously, to a lot less money because as he's getting older and stuff like that, you know, you don't want to be paying him $25 million a year. But I think it's something to consider if he's healthy and he's still pitching well. Why not?
Okay. You said that he has an option for what year?
2014. The Mets have a $25 million option on him.
Okay. So he's still under contract through 2013, right?
Yep. He's under contract this year
okay.
and next year.
So obviously the Mets are going to pick up David Wright's option for next year. So then my question to you is, what are the chances that the Mets are going to re-sign both David Wright and Santana for the 2014 season?
For 2014, will they both be on the team?
Yep.
50-50.
Why?
50-50. Well, I think I don't think there's any question the Mets have to re-sign David Wright, and it's just a matter of, to me, how many years and how much money. I think Santana is more of a question mark than Wright, only because, let's see how he pitches the rest of this year and next year. And with that option, you know, if the Mets choose not to exercise that $25 million option and they want to, like, renegotiate and maybe sign Santana, say, for, like, 2 or 3 more years after that at much lower money, say $10 million a year or something like that, will Santana take that? Or will he say, no, if you guys don't want to give me the option, then I'm just going to go elsewhere? You know, so at that point it gets a little tricky. So, you know, I'm not sure Santana would be willing to come down that much on money, because I would think that that was what the Mets would want to do. So So that's why I think it's more up in the air of Santana than
Rice. Okay, so then my question would be, if Santana is signed, and I'm going to assume that Dickey is still a part of the team, so that's up in the air as well, then what happens to Matt Harvey, Zach Wheeler, and all these other guys that we have waiting in the wings and the minors?
Oh, there's no reason why they can't come up. I mean, you've got...
Where are you going to put them? Because you got Niece, you got G. You figure you're going to have Santana, Dickey, Niece, G, and you're number five.
Well, who's to say that G will be in the rotation in a couple years? I mean, there's no guarantee there. I mean, if you got to see who's pitching well. I mean, I fully expect Harvey to be seriously considered for the rotation next year in 2013, and then Wheeler probably the year after that in 2014. I mean, you know, G hasn't pitched all that well where he's, to me, cemented in a starting rotation spot 2 years from now. Niece is still pitching well, of course. You know, there's a lot that could happen over the next couple of years, but you know, I wouldn't throw G in the rotation and say that he's a given in my opinion anyway. Especially if you got these two young guys coming up, and if they push him, then they push him in my opinion. And Dickey's another one, too. I mean, the Mets have a club option on him for next year, which, of course, they're going to exercise after that. But they've got to get him re-signed. And if he keeps pitching the way he's pitching, you know, he only makes 4 point, I say only. But, you know, for being the best pitcher in baseball right now, Dickey is making $4.25 million this year. And next year, the Mets have a club option on him to pay him $5 million in 2013. So pretty soon he's going to come, if he keeps pitching like this, he's going to come calling for more money too. So,
how much do you think he's worth? How much would you give him and for how long? Because in all honesty, you're talking about signing Santana for another 2 to 3 years. I'd give him 2 with an option for a third. I'm sorry, but that surgery and the way he's been pitching this year, and then you want to tax, he has the option for next year, and then 2 more years after that. Yeah, I start thinking it'll be time to call it a career.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Dickey's interesting. Right now, I can't say how much, you know, to give him. I really don't. Because this is, like, he's pitching, like, out of this world right now. I mean, he's pitching like an all-time great ever in the game of baseball right now. And, he, you know, he's done that for a couple of months. You know, let's see what he's going to do the rest of this year. Let's see what he's going to do next year. And then, you know, from there, decide what to give him. Because I don't think you can really decide, like, right now. It'll be interesting. But, you know, the Mets, he's probably, you know, the most popular player on the team right now, even more so than David Wright. So, I mean, let's see if that continues. I mean, right now I'm just enjoying the way he's pitching.
Let me tell you something. Dickey freaking scares the hell out of me. It's like facing a Klingon. I would never be able to face Dickey. I met him one time, and he's very calm, and he's very shy.
Yeah.
But when he's on the mound, he's like a freaking Klingon going to war. Scares the dickens out of me. Seeing the way his face contorts, and so like he's like a, I don't know, scares the hell out of me. But I like it. It reminds me of my father when my father used to get upset at me. Frightening thing. I think I would probably sign him for 2 years with an option for third. And I'd probably have to say, what's his total contract value right now?
Let's see. What is Dickey making right now?
Yeah, and for all of you, for everybody who's in the chat room right now, I'm sorry. I would love to be in the chat room, but I've been sitting in front of a computer for a good almost 12 hours, and I just refuse to look at another computer screen. So to all those in the chat room, hello. I missed you guys last week. Thank you for joining us.
Dickey, that he is in the second year of his 2-year deal with the Mets. The total was 2 years, $7.8 million total, and then an option for 2013, a club option for $5 million. And if the Mets don't exercise that club option, they can buy him out for $300,000. They will exercise that club option. So the total value, you figure once the Mets exercise that option for the 3 years, what's that? 7.8 and 5 is what, 12.8 million over 3 years?
Okay. So then you figure $15 million is good. I wouldn't go beyond $15 million. You figure he's what, in his late 30s or early 40s? I forgot how old Ricky is.
Yeah, I want to say probably mid-30s.
He said 40. Is he really? Is that young? I thought he was older than that, but okay. I thought he was like older than you.
Oh, sorry. He is 37. Yes, he is older than me. Yes.
Okay. See. Ah, he's only 37. That makes me feel old. I'm turning 33 this year. He's only 4 years older than me. That's not good.
He is 37.
You know, it's sad when you can remember a time when baseball players were actually older than you, and then you start thinking about your age and everything, and you're like, wow, these guys are actually younger than me now. It's kind of depressing. I'm just saying. Very depressing. It is. I was actually talking to a Mets fan about that. And even she was saying it. She was like, holy crap, it's really, you know, it's a frightening thought. You know, God forbid, you know, we kick the bucket and whatever. These kids, you know, they still have their lives ahead of them.
You know, it was funny. It was over the weekend. The Mets were playing the Reds, and I forget which player it was on the Reds. But this guy is from New Jersey, and he's from Tom's River, and he played on like the Little League World Series championship team from Tom's River back in like 1998 or something like that. And when the Little League team won the World Series, they went to Yankee Stadium, and all the players got to run out on the field. And they showed a picture of this guy in his Little League uniform standing next to Derek Jeter. and here he is, like, this weekend playing in a Major League game. And it was like, damn, Derek Jeter's getting old.
Seriously. In all seriousness, it's kind of humbling. And it kind of makes you think about your own mortality. It really does. And I've actually sat here thinking, oh, my God. You know, and then you think about all the girls who are like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, this player's hot, that player's hot. And I'm like, I can't think that because, God forbid, if I ever thought that, I feel like a pedophile or something. It's like these little kids coming up. It's scary. I mean, you don't ever feel that way. I mean, you're older than I am. And it doesn't disturb you, the fact that some of these players are actually younger than you, and at one point, baseball players were actually older than you?
Yeah, I guess so, but, you know, hey, everyone gets old, so.
Thanks for yourself.
I don't think about it that way. I mean, you're depressing me now.
Aww.
No, I don't think about it that way, but it was interesting. It was hilarious. So like I would love to see like Derek Jeter's reaction, like if they showed him that picture. Like, do you know this guy plays in the major leagues right now? And 12 years ago he was in Little League.
you know when you're gonna start feeling old, when your daughter's going to college or she graduates from college, and then you're like, oh my God, I remember when she was like this little. And she was like,
I'm a ways away from that, so I'm definitely not thinking about that.
Listen, this is why I'm saying, enjoy every moment that you can, because even my father says it, that, you know, sometimes he thinks about it, and he's like, my sister and I grew up way too fast. And he wishes, I swear, if my parents had their way, especially my father, he would have kept us little girls forever. We would stay in our, like, little dresses with our little ribbons in our hair and whatnot.
Yeah, I think every parent probably looks at it that way.
Oh, no, not so much. Never with the sons. It's always that way for the daughters. Never for the sons. But you want to know what's interesting? Because I actually, you know, was having a conversation with my father. And my sister told me that she always thought of me as the son my father never had. And even my father said that. Only because I was so involved with sports. Not that I was ever good at them, except like ice skating, skiing, bowling, camping, some of these other things. But as far as I played golf, well, I wasn't any good, but I played it, you know. But it was just, you know, that was something that, this is what I like about Father's Day, the fact that you, these are things that you think about. Because you think about, you know, all the players that spent time with their fathers, and some who, I'm sure that there were like one or two baseball players who didn't even have fathers, that their mothers would drive them to their games every day, and they looked up to like their coaches and whatnot. And I think if you like really look into the lives of baseball players and how they came to love the game and play the game, I think it'd be a remarkable story. And I know that there's actually a book that was released about that, and I forgot the name of it. But I think it's interesting the role that a father plays in the lives of a baseball fan or a baseball player. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're a father. You have a little girl. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, it's, listen, my first introduction to baseball sports in general was by my dad. You know, he used to take me to Shea Stadium to see the Mets. He got me to play Little League baseball when I was growing up. And, you know, same thing with my daughter. I mean, she will sit here on the couch with me and she'll cheer, let's go Mets. And she's, you know, I took her to her first game. That's all she talks about now is Citi Field and the Big Red Apple, as she calls it. And, you know, she'll watch games. So, no, I agree. I mean, from that perspective, we definitely have an influence and introduce our, you know, kids to the games. Probably more so, you know, because that's what we love to do. We love to watch sports. And I still say to this day, you know, I will not let my daughter, I know you disagree, but I will not let her watch the Yankees. If I'm watching the Yankees and she comes into the room, I turn the channel. So I am also shielding her from stuff too.
Good luck with that one when she starts dating a Yankee fan.
Nope, not in my house.
You know what? For every parent that says that, their child ends up dating a Yankee fan. So you might want to reverse that so that she won't date a Yankee fan. Because remember, she will reach that rebellious age where if you, like, tell her, no, you can't date this guy because he's a Yankee fan, she'll be like, I'll do whatever I want.
Well, I will cross that bridge when I get to it, but she's a Mets fan.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I dated a Yankee fan. He was a sweetheart. He respected me. My parents adored him. You know, I adored him. Obviously, it didn't work out, but, you know, it had nothing to do with...
That's the reason why it didn't work out.
No, it had nothing to do with that. He moved to Puerto Rico.
No, that had everything to do with it.
But you want to know the funny thing was I cared about him so much, I actually wore a Yankee hat.
See? Shame on you.
No, not shame on me, because it was actually out of sheer desperation, because it was either wear the Yankee hat or get heat stroke, because we went camping in Colorado, and it reached like 100-something degrees. So it was either I get heat stroke.
You should have opted for the heat stroke. You would have survived.
Yeah,
no.
A couple of my friends actually ended up leaving in an ambulance because they got heat stroke. I was not going to let that be me. But, you know, I mean, if the guy respects your daughter or whatever, you can't just tell her no. That's not nice.
I didn't say I had to be nice or fair. You know, I didn't say that.
Well, think of it this way. My mother's family, they were all Yankee fans. She met my father. She married my father. My father was a Mets fan. Now my mom became a Mets fan. So you never know. She could convert him. And that's just one more person on the Mets fan base. Never underestimate the power of persuasion by a woman.
Well, I definitely never do that. I know better than that.
There you go. So for all you know, she could convert him. And they'll live happily ever after the end.
Yeah, well, we'll see. For now, I'm just worried about her fourth birthday. So.
Which birthday?
Her fourth birthday.
Oh, my God, is she turning four already?
She is turning four, June 24th, Sunday.
Jeez, I thought she was turning two or three or something like that.
No.
Where does the time go? Wow. Well, I have to ask you a question. Because this has actually been bothering the hell out of me. Roger Clemens cleared of all charges. Agree or disagree?
That's a tough one to answer, and here's why. Because of the way our legal system is set up, you know, you are innocent until proven guilty, and when you go to court, there are certain things that have to be proven, and it has to be done in a certain way. I think that the government probably completely botched this, wasted a lot of time, energy, and money. Because, I mean, they had the witness, right? They had the guy who, you know, stuck the needles in his butt. I mean, what more should you need after that? You know, I didn't dig into the details, but obviously they botched this whole thing. To me, in my mind, personally, I mean, he's guilty.
Okay.
From everything that I've read and seen and heard, I mean, I just... there's just nothing that's going to be able to change my mind. And when I've seen, you know, 2000 and throwing the bat at Mike Piazza, that's roid rage to me. I think he was guilty. I mean, I think he's guilty in the court of public opinion. And I think he got off because there are probably some holes in the prosecution's case. Now, again, I mean, that's my own personal opinion from what things I've read and seen on TV. I have no facts to back that up. I'm not an investigative reporter, so, you know, and he was proven innocent in the court of law, and, you know, I guess that's the only thing that really matters to him. But I don't think he'll ever get in the Hall of Fame, let's put it that way. And
well, that would be my next question. Like, what are his chances of getting into the Hall of Fame? Because I was talking to somebody, and they were like, oh, my God, what if he gets – he's on the ballot with Mike Piazza next year, and it'd be really ridiculous if it's a Piazza-Clemens induction, which that won't happen, I can promise
he's
you.
He's not going to get in. He's not going to get in. I mean, again, in the court of public opinion, he's guilty. The people that vote for the Hall of Fame, they are not voting in anyone that has ever done steroids, at least not anytime soon. And, you know, people think that regardless of the outcome of this court case, people think that he's done steroids. I would be shocked if he got into the Hall of Fame, completely shocked, because I just don't think that the writers and the people who vote for the Hall of Fame are going to let him in.
Okay.
I would be completely shocked.
Okay, because then other people have brought up, like, McGuire and Sosa. And them being
I'm sorry?
The people have brought up McGuire and Sosa being in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think they're getting in either.
Okay, but if one of them were to get in, God forbid, like Clemens, McGuire, Sosa, if one of them were to get in, do you think all three should be in?
I think that would open up the door for all of them to get in, and then I think you'd see them all go in. I honestly think the first person that's going to get in that has admitted and known to use steroids, I think A-Rod will be the first one to get in. And then
I
think when
should?
He gets no, I mean, if I'm of the mind frame of if you use steroids and you've admitted it, I don't think you should get into the Hall of Fame. But I think that he's so far away from his career ending by the time, like, he's on a ballot. I don't think he'll get in on the first one, but I think he'll get in after that. And once he gets in, then I think that will open up the conversation again. And then I think you'll start seeing others like Bonds, Sosa, McGuire, and even Clemens at that point in time start to get in. But I think A-Rod will be the first one to get in when he's ready.
So if he gets in, should the others get in?
Yes. If he gets in, if you open the door and you let one in, then I don't think you should stop the others from going in.
Okay. Would it matter the length of time? Or just once you use steroids, that's it, you're banned, goodbye?
I think you should be banned from getting in the Hall of Fame if you use steroids, in my opinion. But I think eventually they will start letting people in after A-Rod gets in. And I think they'll make A-Rod wait too. I don't think he will get in on his first attempt, and maybe not even his second one. But I think he will eventually get in.
I don't think he should get in at all. I don't think anybody who uses steroids should get in at all. And I think if the time came where they do get in, I think I would have lost all respect for the Hall of Fame. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
And Carell, it is now 10 o'clock. You want to sign us off?
Yes. So thank you for everyone who listened in tonight. Laker fan was in the chat room.
Peter, hey!
A couple other folks were also in the chat room tonight. Thank you guys for calling in and listening to another edition of the 5 Tool Show, and we will see you guys next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Talk to you guys later.
Bye, guys.